Today's scripture is Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
Christmas is it's a funny season, really, because it's one where we expect everything to be great. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And for many, you know, I hope it's been true for you. You know, some of us you're in seasons of life where you just get to appreciate all the wonderful things about Christmas. And like in our family, we've got a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, and they're still, eyes still light up when they get the presents and the stockings and all that stuff. And you fill up the house with friends. And yesterday was really a great day. We also remember that for many, Christmas is a very difficult time. It's the time when, we're told that depression is at its greatest. It's the time where, sadly, suicide rates are the highest. It's because there's all these kind of expectations, some of which go very unfulfilled. And today, as we've been going through the Christmas story, we need to pass through this passage that's actually really difficult. It's the part that doesn't normally show up in the Hallmark cards. I mean, I was actually really impressed that when they did ever see the Nativity movie? Remember that one? It came out a few years ago. They actually did incorporate this aspect of the plot in, and I was really impressed with that, because most of the time we gloss over it. But I think it's important that we spend some time there. We're told that after the Magi left, because the Magi, on their way to the manger, they talked to Herod. And Herod, history tells us, both biblical history and secular history, Herod was a guy that, you know, was several fries short of a happy meal. He was a person that was just ruthless, a terrible, terrible leader. A person that would stop at almost nothing to make certain that his rule was absolute. I mean, later on, he would even kill members of his own family in order to secure his kingdom. So it really comes as no surprise that there's this response. But the Magi inadvertently have told him that there's a prophecy that they believe is being fulfilled in Bethlehem. And so after the Magi leave, even though they don't give the specific details, Herod goes on this killing spree. And soldiers show up in Bethlehem, and every male child under 2 years old is slaughtered. Merry Christmas. And you know, for those families on that day, I don't think it's any great consolation to say, "Hey, at least Jesus got out." Right? "Hey, sorry about your son, but at least Jesus got away." No, sometimes there's things that happen in life that just make no sense at all. That's just nothing but, at least as we look at it, it's just nothing but pain. But we also see in this passage, as Matthew is recording this, and he's listening to the stories of people that, you know, were there. I mean, probably talking to folks that knew Joseph, knew Mary, and were just recording the history of this event. He was saying that this was like a prophecy that actually showed up in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And we're going to look there for a little bit. If you have your Bibles, like you have one finger in Matthew chapter 2, and then let's flip over to Jeremiah 31, where we see, like, where Matthew is saying, hey, this prophecy is being fulfilled. Let's look back at the context in which he's saying this was like that. You see, there was another event in the history of the nation of Israel about 600 years prior to that, where the nation had been essentially conquered by the Babylonian army. That was one of the world's first big superpowers, and it just swept through and destroyed everything in its path. And at that point in history, 600 years prior, Jerusalem had just been ripped apart. I mean, the temple had been torn down. Most of the leaders in Israel had been deported and carried off to Babylon, and there was another wave of people, though a similar thing was about to happen to them. And God sent the prophet Jeremiah to comfort the people, to remind them that God has not abandoned them. And he wrote this, and so we're mindful that even in the nativity story and the story that Matthew is telling about Jesus' birth, saying this is a little bit like this. So let's go back and see what the other this was, the story behind the story. Jeremiah chapter 31, and we'll start in verse 10, just so you can hear the whole context. Because realize, when somebody was reading Matthew originally, and they're hearing this, they would be, it would be triggering all this stuff. Jeremiah 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them. He will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will deliver Jacob and redeem those from the land of those the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then young women will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah. Mourning and great weeping. Rachel, by the way, just as a quick aside, Rachel was one of the wives of the patriarchs of Jacob, the man that would later be known as Israel, the family out of whose 12 sons would become the 12 tribes of Israel. So Rachel was a big deal. And Rachel, when she died, do you know where she was buried? At the entryway to the city of Bethlehem. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope. There is hope for your descendants, declares the Lord. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. One of the things we don't want to do around Christmas and as around we hear these stories is just pretend that pain doesn't exist and pretend that the tragedy is not a big deal. It doesn't do anybody any favors to sweep stuff under the rug. And so today, as we remember this aspect of the Christmas story, the bloody, dirty aspect of it, and when we remember that sometimes life makes no sense, what I was hoping we could do today is just honor and remember those that we wish were here to celebrate Christmas with us. So whether, I mean, for some of you here today, you're the single parent or post-divorce. And you've been trying to muster up the joy so that, you know, at Christmas number two for your kids, that you can be really happy. For some of you, as you celebrate Christmas and you sit at the table, you look around, you go, oh yes, that was the chair where my mom used to sit. Oh yeah, that's right, we don't have that dish because that's the one my grandma always made. And I wish she were here. For some of us today, it's very similar to the story where Christmas just kind of brings up all that stuff. And you remember, you think, if my child was alive today, how old would she be? How old would he be? Whether that's lost through the sin of abortion, or that's lost through the tragedy of miscarriage or accident, Christmas brings up all that stuff. There's empty chairs at the table, and our hearts ache for that. And you need to hear this today. God understands. The Bible does not shy away from pain or sorrow or loss. It doesn't tell you to just get over it. But it does promise, I will turn their mourning, and we do mourn, into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. And we're reminded that sometimes we're in a situation where though there is no real consolation in the moment, I mean, there's nothing that you can say to the families in Bethlehem that lost their kids that day. There's nothing we can say. That doesn't mean that God wasn't there. It doesn't mean that God was working something good in the midst of all of that. It just meant that we couldn't understand it and we couldn't see it. What I'm hoping we can do, whether that's as we sing a song of worship or maybe during communion or just after communion, we've got tables up at the front with tea lights. And if today you've got somebody on your heart, somebody that you say, Christmas is great, but I just wish they were here. Is just to light a candle in their honor, to remember before the Lord that sadness. And even in the act of seeing the light from the candle, I mean, sometimes that light looks so small, so very small. Just to remember before God, sometimes there's things that make absolutely no sense. And yet, God's still there. I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer, and I'll leave some space in there. Where, whether out loud if you choose, or just silently, to just remember before God some of the people that are on your heart this morning, people that you wish were here. Lord, we thank you that your word doesn't shy away from pain or sorrow. Because, God, that's where we are very often. Sometimes life doesn't make any sense at all. Sometimes tragedy strikes in ways that we just can't get our heads around. And we wonder where you are. We wonder if you care. We wonder if you see. And yet your word reminds us, not only do you see, but you redeem it. We thank you. Well, we're mindful that you don't spare us from pain. But we're thankful that even in the midst of pain, you bring hope. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen your children today as we remember before you the children, the family members, the loved ones, the friends that we mourn for, that we maybe even weep for today. And especially before you, God, we remember and just invite you to silently or out loud, just lift up some of the names that are on your heart right now.